You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily podcast on the Minnesota Timberwolves, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, your host here, Colt Molesky. I am joined by David Naylor on a beautiful Wednesday morning slash afternoon to talk about some Timberwolves basketball. They are playing the Cleveland Cavaliers on the road tonight. First of all, David, how are you doing?
I'm doing good, man. Good to be back on, as always, off of our usual Friday schedule to get a little Wednesday action in, since our other boys are out in Cleveland for the game tonight.
Yeah, the dynamic duo of Tim Fakeless and Dane Moore out on the road tripping together. They're in Cleveland right now, and they will be road tripping with the team from Cleveland to cover the Chicago Bulls game in Chicago on Friday. So good to know that we have zone coverage people all over the place.
That's exactly right, and I know the boys are out. I think they're at shoot-around right about now at this time in the morning, so they're going to have lots of content and coverage for you guys out from Cleveland as the week goes on. So it's going to be good to see. We got a basketball game to talk about tonight.
We do, and it is particularly interesting because one thing I was noting going into this game with Dane and Tim is that the possibility was extremely high that Orlando not only plays with Cleveland but actually beats this team, and that could have somewhat of an effect on the Cavaliers at home facing a team that whooped them by nearly 30 points when Cleveland was on the road. Now the Timberwolves are in Cleveland, and they take on the Cavaliers that just lost 116-98 to the Orlando Magic. Granted, they were on the road, but still, that's a really bad loss, and this defense has proven yet again that it is not going to show up for games with the Cavaliers. Does this have a factor? This is the first question on my mind for you. Is this a big factor headed into this game that they were not only on the road last night, but they were stomped?
So the first thing I got to say is I went to bed early last night, and the last time I remember checking the Cavaliers Magic score, the Cavs had just put up 43 points in the first quarter and were comfortably up by 12. And I remember tweeting at that exact point that, remember, the Cavs almost gave up a 30-point lead to the Magic the last time they played them. And so what happened, the Cavaliers lost the second half of this game 65-31.
And
to a Magic team that's 20 games under 500.
Yeah, well, this is really bad. I mean, I was I kind of had my eye on a couple different games last night, as I usually try to do a kind of track in a couple NBA games every night. This one was on my radar just because your man cleaned up betting against Cleveland when they played the Pacers on the road, and they were up, what was it? I think it was 22 points, 24 points on the Pacers.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had my eye on this one because the Magic looked bad, but they were still put up 31 points, and then they got beat 24-20 by Cleveland in the second quarter.
And so the Cavs were up by what, like 16 at halftime?
Yeah, but then the Orlando Magic came out with just a stunning 41-22 third quarter, and the Cleveland Cavaliers scored 9 points in the fourth quarter. 24-9, they are outscored in the fourth quarter. Jonathan Simmons has 34 points for Orlando, leads all scores. LeBron only put up 25. He had 25 and 10 rebounds. Just a phenomenal second half from the Orlando Magic, and really speaks volumes to what you're going to see from the Cleveland defense, especially late in a game. They just didn't look like they felt they needed to really play very much in the second half, and that came back to bite them. I feel like this is kind of a perfect game to really show you what has been going on in Cleveland. If you only had to watch one game of the Cleveland Cavaliers this year, this one would tell you everything you need to know about this team.
And I tell you, Colton, like, we've seen some pretty pathetic second half performances from this Minnesota Timberwolves team this year, but nothing like that. No, not getting beat by 34 points in the second half to a 20 games under 500 team. Like, that. Sorry, no.
Well, and the Timberwolves have not put up just 9 points in a quarter this season.
I was going to say, that's one of the worst quarters by any team in the NBA this season. Gotta be. Like,
So I think that this should be a positive for the Timberwolves. I know they're on the road, but this should be a positive for the Timberwolves because go ahead.
I said going into this game, like, Minnesota should comfortably win this game, not only because Cleveland's been in bad form lately. Cleveland's coming in on a road home back-to-back. Like you said, they were in Florida last night, got whooped, and then had to fly home to have another game tonight.
No, like, I think that road trip for Cleveland in the way they're playing on not only a back-to-back, but a back-to-back where they're going from the bottom of the country to essentially top middle of the country, that kind of negates the home court advantage for Cleveland a little bit, don't you think?
Just imagine for a second the last time you walked out of an NBA game where you got your tails beat by 18 points. You walk out of the arena and get to the airport and get in a plane in Florida. You get out of a plane next at midnight in Minneapolis and walk out to 10 below. Just how does that feel for you? Is that like...
It's not great.
I don't think imagine that feel too good on the body. And while, like, I may be over-exaggerating the home field advantage of the frosty north a little bit, going from Florida to Minnesota never feels good, let alone after you got your tails beat in a basketball game. So I'd like... Wait, oh, they're not even Minnesota. They're in Ohio, but it's still cold in Ohio. Ignore the last 30 seconds at that point. Whatever, close enough. You still had to go away from Florida into the winter.
Yeah.
But it doesn't feel good for them, and we know we've seen what back-to-backs do to teams so far this year. They're already overplaying, like LeBron's playing some ridiculous, crazy minutes, and it's not working. And they've got guys hurt. They've got guys on the trade market. They've been playing pathetic defense, and the Timberwolves on the other side are coming in on their biggest amount of rest yet this season. The Wolves have been off since Saturday. They've had multiple days off for the first time this year, this calendar year, to be specific.
Yeah, no.
So, like, the Timberwolves come in with, like, all of these schedule advantages, and that's before you even think about the fact the Cavs got whooped last night.
If you're looking at LeBron, just to go back to your point about LeBron, he is fifth in the NBA with 36.8 minutes per game. Also, another note, he trails Jimmy Butler, who was first in the NBA with 37 minutes a game.
Which I've been fighting off some haters about that on Twitter recently, because I think that a lot of that is weighted towards the early part of the season where he was playing 40, 41, 42 minutes a game, where if you look at, say, the last 15 games of the season, Jimmy Butler is not even in the... Where is Butler?
I think he's out of the top 15, isn't he?
I was going to say, he's not even anywhere on the top of the page that I can see. Yeah. Like, the Timberwolves have done a really, really great job managing all of the starters' minutes in the last, like, 15 games of the season.
And that's not even a knock, really, because I'm just happy he's not averaging 40 minutes. And I think you probably have to see him out there about 36 minutes a game anyways for the Timberwolves to be at their peak performance, just because of how reliant they are on not only his offense but his defense. But it is interesting that LeBron is playing such big minutes, and it's still the roster around him is so bad that it doesn't really seem to make a huge difference. Obviously, they would be a bottom team if he wasn't on there, but usually when you see LeBron on the court for a team, it makes such a difference for the players around him that C-level players are turning into B-level players. That's just not the case because the output of not only their performance, but I think just their energy level is so minimal that this team is still struggling mightily despite him being on the floor for such a bulk of time.
Yeah, like, it's so hard to quantify with Cleveland. Like, there are all these stories coming out now about LeBron having discord with the front office, with Cleveland chasing every trade asset that they can possibly find on the market at this point. And, like, it just looks like nothing makes sense. Like, it looks like a team that's, like, quitting. And we've counted out the Cavs during the regular season before. Everybody's done it over the years. LeBron, not LeBron regardless. And I said on Twitter not even a week ago that I will believe that LeBron is out before the NBA Finals when a team beats his team four times in the playoffs.
But that's really the only time you can believe that kind of thing.
But boy, like they barely look like a playoff team at this point. Like I'm just looking on Twitter right now. Dave Benz, the Timberwolves play-by-play guy, has the fact that the Timberwolves are favorites as an away team against the Cleveland Cavaliers.
I don't even know the last time that was probably.
The stat that we've got that Dave Benz has is that per ESPN Stats and Info, LeBron and the Cleveland Cavaliers are 4-point home underdogs tonight against Minnesota. It will only be the sixth time LeBron plays as a home underdog in the last 10 seasons.
Jeez, that's crazy.
That's how bad the Cavs have been. That's like the Timberwolves are a good team. We know that. We've watched that. The record shows it. But boy, that says a lot more about the Cavs than does about the Wolves.
It really does. We're going to get into matchups here, but first a quick break from our sponsors. Looking at this game, we just talked about the Orlando Magic really putting on the Cavaliers in the second half of this game that they had last night, and the Cavaliers lost that game. Going into this one, a stat that I really liked in January, the Timberwolves were the eighth best team in the third quarter points-wise, scoring 28.4 points per game in January in the third quarter. The Cleveland Cavaliers, 27 points per game. They were 15th in the league in January in points in the third quarter. I really like that Minnesota can be in a tight game or even be down going into half. I don't even know if they will be down to this Cleveland defense going into halftime. But even if they are, they know that they can make some hay in the third quarter because Cleveland not only is really bad defensively, but offensively they haven't been great coming out of the halftime. If you're looking at that third quarter specifically for this game, is that where you really see Jimmy Butler put up like 12 points or something like that and Karl Anthony Towns is doing really well? Is that an area where they could possibly have a 40-point quarter like the Orlando Magic did before and so many teams have before against the Cavaliers?
A recent trend for the Timberwolves in particular, thinking about the third quarter things, is that Karl Anthony Towns has had some really quiet first halves of games in recent times, whether it's because of matchups or because just hasn't been getting the ball, one thing and another, but has had often really strong performances in third quarters. And so that's the kind of thing that if that happens tonight, that would fit that stat profile that you found. And like, it's hard to pull too much from that first matchup because the Timberwolves were up by like 25 points at halftime. Like, that's the thing, is the third quarter didn't matter that much in the first matchup between these games.
Most of the second half didn't really matter.
Yeah, well, the Timberwolves were up, what, like 69-42 at halftime?
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
It was so, really bad. And so I know that's
not good.
They
could very well do that tonight. I actually think that the matchup is even better for the Timberwolves now than it was before.
It very well might be, just because I think the Timberwolves are one of these teams where you have them kind of incrementally getting better every month as this kind of core unit starts to develop together. And I know that they've had a rough end to January, but Cleveland is such a bad defense. You're going to get some great looks for guys like Andrew Wiggins and guys like Jamal Crawford, players who you want to see extend the range of their shooting when they build confidence throughout the game. And we know how well Andrew Wiggins plays against a team like Cleveland in a spotlight kind of game that's going to be on ESPN. I just really feel like it's all setting up for the Timberwolves to have a really, really big third quarter. And maybe they don't because they're up by at halftime and they just keep kind of chugging away at the game and do what they have to do to get out of here with a win. But I feel like they're going to have a 43-point third quarter in store.
And you didn't even name check the guy who I think might have the biggest game of all tonight for the Minnesota Timberwolves. A man who has taken a lot of criticism on Twitter and elsewhere for his role this season, but a dude who's going to have the best matchup he can possibly imagine on defense tonight. That is one Mr. Jeff Teague.
No, that's absolutely
I
true.
I think Jeff Teague could get all the buckets tonight if he wants to. Because the difference from the last matchup to this matchup is that Isaiah Thomas is back for the Cleveland Cavaliers. And as we know, Isaiah Thomas has his flaws on the defensive end of the floor.
Not a staunch defender from what I've heard.
Not particularly. And also, he's tiny. He's the kind of player that, like, I think Teague's offensive game could really shine against the kind of player that Isaiah Thomas is. And while I have been critical of the amount of shots that Teague has gotten in games past, especially when it feels like they're taking away from Towns, this is a game where I would let Teague get his, because he's going to have some great looks all throughout the game. And he's also the guy that, like, Cleveland's going to put LeBron on somebody, probably on Jimmy Butler. But you look at Andrew Wiggins and you look at Teague both, and they're going to have matchups that they're going to be able to exploit all night long. So, I've been very critical of Teague for a lot of this year, but I think both Teague and Tyus Jones could have really big nights tonight, just because the game is barely ever going to have been easier for the two of them to play. And like Tyus had a great game the first time around against the Cavs. Obviously, the dunk was the big moment, but he played smart basketball, distributed the ball well, all these things that Tyus does all year. But he showed a little bit more of a scoring touch recently, with I think maybe his biggest scoring game of the year coming within the last couple of games. So I'd expect Tyus to be able to go get his tonight, as well as Teague to kind of take more of a forefront. And maybe this could be one of those games where Jimmy looks to distribute more than score, just because everybody else that's not him is going to be so open unless the Cavs put LeBron on someone else.
Yeah. The problem I have with Teague is that I'm going to know in the first quarter if he's showing up for this game. He's just one of those players. I've said this all year long. You know what kind of Teague you're getting in the first quarter. And there's really good versions of Teague, and there's also really bad versions of Teague. And so you know right away in the first quarter what the third quarter is going to be like a little bit for the Timberwolves, because if he doesn't show up to play, you're kind of missing out on a big advantage that you mentioned with Teague over Isaiah Thomas's defense. And I think in the third quarter, or not in the third quarter, in the first quarter, if Teague isn't showing up, you really have to put Tyus Jones in for a bulk of that third quarter coming out of the half, because that is such a big matchup, Isaiah Thomas's defense, to take advantage of. You can't miss that opportunity.
But here's the thing. Feed Teague in the first quarter.
No, absolutely.
Because, like, number one, I agree with you that you can tell what kind of night he's going to have pretty early, but let him get his early in this game. Because if his floater is falling early in this game, no one is stopping that on Cleveland.
Let him have, like, 8 to 10 shots.
Yeah, like, legitimately, we're going to have your 4 or 5 shots from Taj Gibson, first quarter all-star. But other than that, like, maybe take a few of the looks away from Wiggins and give him the Teague, just because it's going to be easy for him. The other thing to note is that I think I saw some talk last night from the first quarter of the Magic game that I did saw. The Cavs have been doing some playing LeBron at center lineups, and oh boy, are they not going to be able to get away with that against Minnesota Timberwolves. Because I don't think you want LeBron trying to guard Karl Anthony Towns in the post.
And
he might be able to do it, but boy, would I not want to risk that.
Even if he does, like, that might be the best matchup not only for Towns, but just to get Jimmy Butler free. Like, if you have Jimmy Butler, who's against any other defender on the Cleveland Cavaliers, he should be able to make them pay on every possession that he's not guarded by LeBron. And so
that
would,
like,
be fine.
Even if it ends up with LeBron against Taj Gibson, Taj Gibson has immaculate post footwork, and we see it every game. He's got a reliable little jumper from 5 to 10 feet. He can get to the rim pretty much at will against weaker defenders. I'd be glad to take Taj Gibson on offense against LeBron James trying to guard him in the post.
I also love the idea of Tristan Thompson trying to keep Taj Gibson away from those little putbacks that he does where in the second quarter. He always seems to, in the second quarter, have like six points off of these little putbacks and puts the Timberwolves on a little run.
The thing you worry about with Tristan Thompson is he's a little bit of the blueprint of the kind of guy that's given the Wolves problems this year. In terms of, he's a guy that crashes the offensive glass really heavily, can punish guys being out of position on the boards, which Karl Anthony Towns, for all of the steps that he's taken, still happens. We've seen the big games by guys like Enes Kanter, Steven Adams. Bam Adebayo by the Miami Heat, who had an enormous game the first matchup against the Timberwolves. He's that kind of prototypical, just hits the glass really hard, going to get his in the offensive glass, will punish you being out of position. And he hasn't had a good year, but this is the kind of game that if the Timberwolves aren't careful, he could really be a problem for them underneath.
The problem is that I trust Karl-Anthony Towns to be giving effort into the second half of this game, and I don't really trust that from Tristan Thompson.
Yep, I agree.
All right, we're gonna,
like, we've had our problems, but this Cavs team just doesn't try.
Exactly, which is something you have to do in sports, I've been told.
Yeah, so I've heard. I'm no professional athlete, but
it definitely helps. We're going to take another quick break from our sponsors before we kind of try and predict the outcome of tonight's game. Fantasy basketball fans, listen up. If you love fantasy basketball, then you need to try my new favorite app, Draft. It's a daily fantasy basketball, but not like the other guys. On Draft, you play real-life snake drafts with other people, just like in your season-long league. Here's how it works. It's a draft that lasts for just one night, and there's no management. Just set it and forget it. Once you're done with drafting, that's it. No trades, no waiver wire. Draft even takes care of last-minute injuries for you. Drafts start every couple minutes, so you can join one right now. And the best part? Play for cold, hard cash. Drafts start from just $1, so there's a draft for everyone. No salary caps. Playing a real live snake draft just like you play with your friends all season long. Come join me on Draft today. Download the app anytime. Just search Draft in your app store and join a game in a minute. Or play right from your computer on draft.com whenever you want. Make sure you use my promo code LOTWOLVES, that's LOTWOLVES, to get a cash money back bonus of up to $100 the first time you deposit into Draft. And make sure you join, it's Draft Wednesday, so make sure you join my Draft Lobbies. Look for the LOW Draft Lobbies, and my profile is Locked On Wolves on there, so go ahead and follow me so you know when I open up lobbies all the time right away, and be the one to take away my money. Show me how much more you know about drafting basketball players than me tonight by playing me on Draft. Cleveland hosting the Timberwolves tonight. I want to hear some score predictions. I'm thinking it's going to be a 120 to 102 kind of game for the Timberwolves. I think that there's a lot of points scored, particularly in the second half of this one. And I'm predicting big nights from the stars for the Timberwolves, something like 20-point performances, 20-plus point performances from Butler, Towns, and either Wiggins or Teague, or maybe both of those guys. I think Jamal Crawford will have a stretch where he's hitting everything because they don't have really a guy off the bench to defend a guy like Jamal Crawford. I'm expecting a lot of scoring from the Timberwolves stars, and I just don't think that Cleveland can keep up with them because the defense of the Timberwolves is much better than Cleveland's defense. What say you?
So I pulled up a prediction from Cavs blog Fear the Sword while you were getting the ad break on, just to see what they were saying about tonight. They've got the final score as 125 to 103 Timberwolves. So I'd say that you've got exactly the right idea with that, about 120 to about 100. That's about in the range that I'd say. I honestly think the Cavaliers are going to get held under 100 points tonight.
Really?
They scored 98 last night against the Magic, who are a much worse defensive team than the Timberwolves on paper.
That's true.
And the Timberwolves are well-rested. They're ready to go. This is a national TV game. They'll be looking to make a statement. And I think that they could really punish Cleveland tonight. And, like, it's just, I think I might go for something like 120 to 95, just that little 5-point tweak down that it's symbolic. We had the little stretch where the Timberwolves had held five or six or seven straight opponents under 100, which I think ended with the first Cavaliers game, or the Cavaliers game was the last part of that streak. But I think that's the kind of game we could see tonight, where just, especially in the first half, Cleveland is just, they're held to just LeBron. If we remember the first matchup between these teams, LeBron was scoring when he could get the ball, but basically nobody else from Cleveland could get anything. And while I think Isaiah Thomas is probably going to get a few points tonight, just like, where is the offensive threat going to come from this team? Kevin Love is out with an injury, so Tristan Thompson will start.
And Mon Shumpert and J.R. Smith have shown that they are not offensive threats this year.
Mm-hmm. Dwayne Wade might sit tonight because it's a back-to-back.
Mm-hmm.
because he's been playing lighter on back-to-backs this season because he's old. And Wade had some good moments in the second quarter against the Timberwolves last time because he's a really hard matchup, especially for the Timberwolves bench. But if he's out for the Cavaliers, he's going to score for this team. Like, I have a hard time seeing them get to 100 points tonight. That might be overly optimistic, but...
Is there some version of this where LeBron takes it really personally that he is a home dog for the first time in forever in his career, and plus the fact that the Timberwolves just shellacked this team and that he hates losing already? Is there a version of this that LeBron is just pissed off enough to somehow rally this team around him and get a win?
It depends. How many people on this team actually care about him?
That's a great question.
I think that's a very fair question at this point. And LeBron's effort's been called into question at points during this losing stretch for Cleveland. He hasn't put 48 good minutes together. He's not trying that hard on defense, like, let alone inspiring the entire team to be better. I want to see 48 good minutes from LeBron himself if they're going to be even close.
The last thought I have before we head out here, what are the chances that we see a guy like George Hill on the Cavaliers roster tomorrow after a loss for Cleveland?
It wouldn't surprise me that Cleveland's roster is hard to put together for that. Like, there's been plenty of pieces written about how difficult it is to actually construct a trade that works for them. Honestly, they could put it together, but they might be mortgaging their future if they do that, and I'm not sure how willing Dan Gilbert is to do that, given that he might not have LeBron next year. Why move the Nets pick? The Nets pick might be the most important part of the franchise's future at this point.
Yeah. No, yeah, I would probably hold on to it. The one trade that I had that might work, and obviously I had it on the trade machine. Obviously, picks would have to go to these teams as well, but I had a three-team deal with the Atlanta Hawks and the Sacramento Kings. The Kings get J.R. Smith, Derrick Rose, Jeff Green. The Cavaliers get Kent Bazemore and George Hill, and the Hawks get Tristan Thompson and LeBissier. I'm probably butchering his last name.
Oh, Scal.
Yeah, Scal.
Just call him Scal. Everybody knows who he is.
Scal from the Kings. And obviously the Hawks and the Kings would definitely have to get picks for that. Is there any way that some kind of form, because I think that you need two players for the Cavs for them to get marginally better.
I could see it. I don't know the Cavs pick situation that well in terms of their own picks as to how able to move stuff and how far into the future are they going to mortgage their franchise at this point?
Yeah.
Because, like, if you're talking about moving, like, 2020, 22 first-round picks to make that work, you've now – that's, like, a Nets deal. The deal
yeah.
that, like,
no, yeah, with
the Brooklyn
with the
Nets
Celtics.
The shadow realm for the last 10 years.
Yeah.
Like
– And that's what –
That's
I mean,
what you have to worry about is Dan Gilbert is, like, at this point, I would almost think that it's more certain that LeBron's not staying after this year.
Mm-hmm.
But that would make me, as a front office of Cleveland, very unwilling to part with future assets. Because you could be tanking for a little bit in the future if he's gone.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing, too, is that I'm just spitballing with some of these. But I know that in this kind of type of deal, you're giving the Hawks and the Kings a considerable amount of picks as well to not only get guys like Hill and Bazemore who could potentially help your team right away, but also to take contracts like Tristan Thompson's or J.R. Smith's.
Mm-hmm.
No, yeah.
It's just hard to figure out. Like, and this is what the Cleveland front office is probably doing right now, too. Like, it's just hard to see what's going to happen.
Yeah, it is. All signs point to a pretty safe Timberwolves victory tonight. Again, first time that LeBron has been favored, or a dog has been a home dog in quite some time. Timberwolves just looking good against this bad defense, and the Cleveland Cavaliers have a lot to figure out. Make sure, like David was saying, make sure to check out all the zone coverage stuff. We have guys on the road, so make sure you check out the stuff they're writing right now. They were at Shoot Around today, their recap, and as they head to Chicago, they'll be throwing out more content on the way to Chicago as well. David, thanks for coming on.
While those boys are riding the car, I'll be your guy on the trade deadline tomorrow should the Timberwolves have any activity going on, because I'll be sitting on my laptop between shifts at work while the trade deadline goes down. So if anything goes down on the Timberwolves end, will have that covered at zone coverage as well. And I know I've been starting to hear some peeps about the Timberwolves making Jamal Crawford available if they can get something favorable back, which, depending on what they get, could be a very interesting move.
No, exactly. And we'll have all that. We'll have the podcast, Locked On Wolves podcast, up tomorrow on zone coverage as well. And then this week on Friday, we'll always have the Double or Nothing podcast up. Gambling season is far from over, even though the NFL football season is. We're going to be talking about hockey in the state of hockey. So that should be a good episode as well. Got lots of content on zone coverage. Got to go check it all out.
Yep.
All right,
Colton.
That's it for me, my man. I got to get to class, as always, always crunching time and making sure that I'm a good student as well as a good podcaster. Thanks for coming on, David.
Yep, be well. Get that degree, my dude.
I'm trying my very best. Thanks for listening to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.